This week, the cost of a new type of battery, one made from one of the most abundant elements on Earth, dropped to just 35 Chinese yuan per watt hour. That might not sound like much, but it means it's now on the verge of being just as cheap as the lithium-ion batteries that power our world. The question is, are Western companies ready for the disruption? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a fundamental shift in the energy storage landscape. For years, we've talked about the dominance of lithium-ion, but we're now seeing the first real commercial challenge from sodium-ion batteries. They're moving from the lab to the marketplace at incredible speed.
That's right. We're seeing major product launches in both Europe and Asia, and critically, the first large-scale manufacturing plants are being built in the United States. This isn't a theoretical discussion anymore.
And it's forcing a reaction. The established lithium-ion industry is doubling down on its own resilience, not just with new chemistry, but by building a powerful circular economy through advanced recycling and second life applications. This week is all about the great battery shakeup. So, Troy, let's start with the products hitting the market. We have reports from California-based Unigrid and Chinese giant CATL. What have they just launched?
They've both launched commercial sodium-ion battery systems, but for two very different markets. Unigrid, out of California, unveiled its NA+ CASA system on July 8th. It's a 9.25 kilowatt-hour residential battery, a direct competitor to products like the Tesla Powerwall.
And what makes it different, aside from using sodium?
The core technology is a proprietary sodium chromium oxide cathode. This gives it a 10,000 cycle lifespan, which is significantly longer than many residential lithium systems. It's also inherently safer, with a lower risk of thermal runaway. Critically, Unigrid has already completed its first installations in Europe, with a U.S. rollout planned by the end of 2026.
So, a U.S. company is debuting its product in Europe first. And what about CATL?
On July 5th, in Munich, CATL commercialized its Tenor sodium system. This is a massive grid-scale battery energy storage system, or BESS. They're shipping 1 gigawatt-hour of these systems in China by the end of this year, with international shipments starting in June 2027.
A gigawatt-hour is a huge number. What are the specs that matter here?
The Tenor system boasts a 15,000 cycle lifespan and validated performance in extreme temperatures. But the most stunning figure is its auxiliary power consumption, the energy the system uses just to operate. It's around 1% of a comparable lithium-ion battery, a massive gain in operational efficiency.
Okay, so a new, safer, long-lasting battery is now available for both homes and utilities. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For manufacturers, this provides an alternative for factory microgrids and backup power that isn't dependent on the volatile lithium and cobalt supply chains. It promises more stable long-term pricing and less geopolitical risk. European manufacturers, in particular, now have a new option being deployed on their doorstep by Unigrid.
And for trading companies and distributors?
Western distributors, especially in the home solar and energy space, have a new product category to evaluate. The European launch of NatCasa is a market signal. Sourcing from companies like CATL starting next year or Unigrid now means diversifying their portfolio beyond lithium-ion.
So what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
It's time to treat sodium-ion as a commercially viable technology. If you procure energy storage, your team should be running a total cost of ownership analysis on these new sodium-ion systems. The upfront cost is reaching parity, but the longer lifespan and higher efficiency could make them the superior long-term investment.
That brings us to the crucial question of supply. It's one thing to launch a product, but another to produce it at scale, especially in the West. We have a major announcement from a U.S. startup, Peak Energy.
That's right. On July 9th, Peak Energy announced it is building the first dedicated grid-scale sodium-ion BESS factory in the United States. It's a $71 million facility in Sacramento, California, with a planned annual production capacity of 4 gigawatt hours.
4 gigawatt hours is a serious number. When will these batteries be available?
Production and shipments are slated to begin in the first quarter of 2027. This isn't a pilot line. This is mass production. Peak Energy has already validated its technology with a 3.5 megawatt-hour grid-scale system operating in Watkins, Colorado.
The article mentions they are targeting high-demand sectors like data centers and industrial manufacturing. Why those specifically?
Because those sectors require absolute power reliability and are massive energy consumers. A data center cannot afford to go down. Traditionally, they've relied on diesel generators and lithium-ion UPS systems. A U.S.-made sodium-ion battery offers a safer, longer-lasting, and potentially cheaper alternative with a secure domestic supply chain.
So how does this new California factory change the game for U.S. and European manufacturers?
For U.S. manufacturers, it's a game changer. It means a domestic source for grid-scale storage, insulated from international shipping disruption and tariffs. It directly supports the onshoring trend and goals of the Inflation Reduction Act. For European manufacturers, it signals the start of a competitive sodium-ion manufacturing race. They will need to secure their own regional supply or face reliance on imports from the U.S. and China.
What should Western trading companies and distributors be paying attention to?
They should be looking at market timing and partnerships. With shipments starting in Q1 2027, the window to engage with Peak Energy and plan for integration and distribution is now. European distributors should be scouting for emerging local players or preparing to import, as demand for non-lithium alternatives will certainly grow.
And the key action for an executive to consider?
If you're planning any major capital expenditure on industrial facilities or data centers in North America post-2027, your planning must include an evaluation of sourcing BESS from this new domestic supply. Initiate contact with these new American producers now to understand their product roadmap and production availability.
So while sodium ion is making its big entrance, the multi-trillion dollar lithium ion industry isn't standing still. We're seeing a major push in recycling. Troy, how good are we at actually recovering materials from old lithium-ion batteries?
We're getting remarkably good. A report from July 3rd shows that advanced recycling processes are now achieving recovery rates of 95% for both lithium and cobalt, and 97% for nickel. This is transforming recycling from simple waste management into strategic material recovery.
How does that work? You mentioned advanced processes. Is this different from just melting them down?
Yes, very different. The most advanced method is called hydrometallurgy. After batteries are mechanically shredded into a powder called black mass, this process uses acids to leach out the valuable metals. Then, through solvent extraction and precipitation, it recovers individual metals like lithium carbonate, cobalt sulfate, and nickel sulfate in a very high-purity, battery-grade form.
And we're seeing major players invest here?
Absolutely. In July 2026, two key players made big moves. Redwood Materials announced an expansion of its lithium-ion recycling capacity in the U.S., specifically increasing processing for lithium, nickel, cobalt, and copper. Simultaneously, the German chemical giant BASF boosted its recycling and black mass processing capacity in Germany.
So we have a major American player and a major European player scaling up at the same time. What does this mean for manufacturers in those regions?
It means the birth of a secure, regional, circular supply chain for critical battery materials. A U.S. automotive or electronics manufacturer could soon source battery-grade nickel or cobalt that was recovered from old batteries in Nevada, rather than mining it in geopolitically sensitive regions. The same goes for a German manufacturer sourcing from BASF. It's a massive de-risking of the supply chain.
How does this impact trading companies and sourcing managers?
Sourcing managers now have a new category of material to consider: recycled content. This isn't just about ESG compliance. The purity of these recovered metals is high enough to go directly into new, high-performance batteries. It creates price competition for virgin materials and offers supply stability. Trading black mass itself is also becoming a more sophisticated commodity market.
What's the key takeaway for executives?
You need to view your company's end-of-life batteries not as a waste liability, but as a strategic asset. Conduct an audit of your battery waste stream. Begin conversations with recyclers like Redwood Materials in the U.S. or BASF in Europe to understand the logistics and potential revenue of feeding those spent batteries back into a closed-loop system.
Beyond recycling, there's another way to handle old batteries, giving them a second life. A new report from ID Tech suggests the U.S. is falling behind here.
It does. The July 8th report concludes the U.S. is lagging both China and the European Union in innovating and deploying second-life EV batteries. These are batteries that have degraded to about 70-80% of their original capacity, making them unsuitable for a vehicle, but still perfectly viable for stationary energy storage for up to another 10 years.
So we're leaving value on the table.
But is anyone in North America getting this right?
Yes, but the leader is in Canada. On July 2nd, a company called Moment Energy opened Mega Factory 1 in Vancouver. It's one of the world's largest facilities dedicated to repurposing end-of-life EV batteries into commercial-scale BESS. They got the plant operational in just 6 weeks.
6 weeks is incredibly fast. What kind of systems are they building?
They are building commercial BESS designed for critical infrastructure. Think data centers, hospitals, factories, and microgrids. Their goal is to reach an annual production capacity of 1 gigawatt hour by 2030, all using batteries that would otherwise be discarded or sent directly for recycling.
So why is the U.S. lagging, and what does this mean for American manufacturers?
The U.S. has lacked a clear regulatory framework and the infrastructure for collecting, grading, and repurposing these batteries at scale. For U.S. manufacturers, this represents a missed opportunity for lower-cost energy storage. A second-life BESS from a company like Moment Energy can be significantly cheaper than a new one, lowering the barrier to deploying on-site storage for peak shaving or backup power.
What should trading and distribution companies know about this market?
The second-life BESS market is a distinct and growing segment. Distributors in the U.S. need to look to Canadian and European innovators for partnership opportunities. There's a clear opening for American companies to build the testing and integration infrastructure that ID Tech X says is missing. Sourcing used EV batteries will become as important as sourcing other components.
So, what is the actionable insight for an American executive hearing this?
The slow U.S. start is a market opportunity. If you are in logistics, industrial automation, or energy services, investigate the business case for creating a certified EV battery collection and grading operation. For companies needing storage, don't just look at new systems. Reach out to Second Life integrators like Moment Energy to evaluate if their lower-cost solutions can meet your stationary storage needs.
All right, Troy, that was a lot of ground to cover. Let's distill it down. What are the 3 key strategic takeaways from this week?
First, sodium ion is a commercial reality now, with products for both residential and grid-scale applications hitting European and global markets. It is officially a competitive alternative to lithium ion. Western companies can no longer treat it as a future technology.
Second,
domestic production is coming, and it's coming fast. The new 4-gigawatt peak energy factory in California, set to ship in early 2027, marks the beginning of a resilient onshore supply chain for non-lithium batteries in the United States. This fundamentally changes the calculus for long-term energy projects.
And the third key takeaway?
The lithium-ion ecosystem is fighting back by closing the loop. Through advanced hydrometallurgical recycling and the scaling of Second Life BESS factories, the industry is building a powerful circular economy. This creates supply security and turns waste streams into value streams.
And what are the recommended actions for our listeners?
1. Task your procurement teams to formally evaluate sodium ion technology for any new energy storage projects. 2. If you're planning major industrial infrastructure in North America, engage now with emerging domestic producers to align your timelines. 3. Audit your company's battery usage and waste streams. Develop a strategy to partner with recyclers or Second Life integrators to create value.
A fascinating look at a market in transition. The race is on, and it seems there will be multiple winners. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing.
Thank you for tuning in.
Join us again next week for more Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you never miss an episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website for deeper analysis and show notes. Goodbye for now.